Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangadek. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
And if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet every time. Friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, duty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repairs, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and today we're going to shop with Zoe as we talk about blacks in China. We often remind you that we are a global family. And everywhere in the world is only a plane ride away. We are connected. And even if you never get on an airplane, there's the internet, which is international. And once you place something on the World Wide Web, you are global. Many people have a challenge expanding their minds beyond their neighborhood, their block, their city, even their nation, to realize if where you are is not presenting you the opportunities you desire, you have the option to go someplace else. That's what a passport is for. And of course, if you join us every third Saturday and move around with Deborah, you know that travel is something that enhances your life. And it's easy if you simply choose where you want to go. Always research anywhere in the world and visit. And you can even decide to relocate or just stay a while and explore. There are educational opportunities. There are business opportunities. And too often, we don't explore someplace that has been made to appear foreign to us from what programming on TV and books we may have read that are probably outdated or even attitudes from people who grew up in an era where people didn't associate with others that didn't look and sound like them. But the world has changed. And the younger generation does not have the fear that we may have had because the younger generation grew up with the internet. And they grew up watching Facebook, YouTube, and now TikTok and Instagram and all of these bursts of information from all around the world. So someplace like China, they can't imagine it. Well, today as we shop with Zoe, we are going to talk about blacks in China. Because there are many Africans that have migrated to China. There are black people who are living in China, learning Chinese, influencing Chinese culture, and changing the attitudes of people that are often fear-based when it comes to getting to know someone from a different culture. So how do we bridge the gap? Well, part of it is the language gap. And this is why every morning, every day, we greet you in 16 different languages. so that you can understand that everybody has a friendly way of greeting their friends and strangers that promotes friendliness and harmony. And we should at least know a greeting which says, I acknowledge you for who you are, and I respect your culture. I respect you enough to at least know how to greet you in your language. Last week, we had a wonderful opportunity to experience youth in China with our podcast students at Betty Shabazz International Charter School. And you can go on the Higher Learning TV show and see the entire exchange with the students and an across-the-water interview with their teacher, Lavinia Weiser, who just happens to be my niece, is living with her husband in China teaching English. And there are English teaching programs in nations across the world. Not because English is a superior language, but because students are being prepared to be global. They're not only learning English, they're learning Chinese, they're learning Japanese, they're learning French, they're learning Swahili, they're learning Urdu, they're learning Arabic. Schools across the world are preparing their youth to be global citizens. And now that the internet has made business a global marketplace, if you really want to excel in the world of today, not tomorrow, but today, you need to be multilingual. Opportunity later to share with you some of that exchange with the students at Betty Shabazz International Charter School. And they, of course, learned some words of greeting. Because if we're serious about participating in the society in a constructive way, we cannot keep our children contained and confined to a neighborhood. And a racial identity minimizes who they are. They, too, are global citizens. They, too, have the opportunity to interact and be multilingual. So our goal is to transcend the limitations of the generation preceding them, open their minds to the unlimited possibilities that are now available based on a global communication system that is right there on their cell phone and certainly on their computers. So today we're going to talk about blacks in China because there are a number of people of African descent and people coming directly from the continent of Africa in these times that are traveling to China, establishing businesses, building communities, educating their children, and preparing for a future in which China plays a major role in the global economy. We can't with fear. We have to approach it with preparation and understanding so that we are able to participate in this global marketplace. People are intermarrying. Yes, people are converting to different religions. Yes, people are adopting different cultural attitudes. That's what happens when people travel. That's how all of us have experienced other cultures. People have traveled and shared who they are and what they know. So all of us have something to share with our neighbors. Let us prepare our children to effectively share a very rich culture, creative energy, ingenuity, resiliency. This is who we are as an African people. But everybody on the globe has something to share. Everyone has a history in which they have learned some very important lessons. And everybody has something that has empowered them to overcome challenges, whatever the experience may have been. Today, we invite you to consider traveling to China. Now, of course, our global family of hosts, we're often reminding you that we are one family. And if we are willing to share our knowledge, our experiences, our skills, we can, in fact, eliminate all the problems in our society. So you can follow our team of hosts on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show every day, because each host has some aspect of knowledge that will expand your mind. This is our goal. And the reason why we share this with you is so that you can discover your own purpose. And, of course, you know our Monday morning mindfulness hope. Zelda Speaks, also every fourth Saturday, introduces the Global Teen Talent Contest, in which now teens, tweens, and tots share their talents. And we're seeing how much our culture has influenced world culture. So we need not be afraid of branching out and getting to know others of other cultures. Our Tuesday host, Asada, introduces authors literally from around the world in the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. And she's interviewed authors from Japan, from Uganda, from London, all over the world. And yes, black people are all over the world. But more importantly, we have an experience that is unique, that we can share, that can enlighten. And our Tuesday host, Asada, has even introduced us to the global currency, the digital currency market, that is now transforming how people do business financially. So, to transcend our neighborhood. She's also introduced the metaverse, where people are able to connect online, virtually, and create a virtual society, which again is global. On our Wednesday show, myself and our host, Kareem Hamid, we have connected you to people all around the world. In addition to being a part of the American Muslim 360 blog talk channel, which is the world's largest Muslim radio. We have also traveled and brought you this program from Japan, from London, from South Korea, and introduced you to people from that global peace organization, Heavenly Culture, World Peace, Restoration of Light. And we have made it possible for a worldview of events that are changing their lives, because people are organizing all around the world. Is a global platform that we invite you to be a part of, because the world is different than what it was, and it is not going to ever go back to the way it was, because we now have the means to connect to each other that doesn't require anybody's permission. These are systems that everyone has all over the world. Zoe comes to us with a wealth of information from China, her experience. And as a successful international business woman, she's able to expand our expectations and give us an opportunity to consider interacting and exchanging information with people in China and from China who are sharing their creative energy in terms of skills, inventions, that can enhance our lives. And that's what trade does. It helps to foster friendships based on the fact that people are getting to know each other by helping each other. If I have something you need provided to you, and you in exchange provide something of value to me. Business is about exchange, and we need not be afraid of international business. So when you join us on Thursday, once again, we bring you to a global family. And if our children are going to the global family that is created in other countries where children are multilingual, then we need to prepare them. We need to prepare them to participate, and we need to give them a greater vision where they may go. So one of the things we're going to introduce to you today is a new reality, and that is that there are people in China of African descent that are influencing business, culture, maybe even religion, finance, and all aspects of life. And we need to know this so that we can give our children a different view of what they can become because there are young people that are learning Chinese, just as there are young people in China learning English. And in the world of today, not tomorrow, but today, they will see each other as friends, and they will trade with each other and may even become family. And if we have fear, we need to get over it. Of course, as you know, our Friday and Sunday host, Viata, brings us news of health benefits from all around the world, holistic healing, and an understanding that our health is our responsibility. And so much of the information we get is from beyond our borders or beyond our traditional experience. Information sometimes coming from the East, but definitely effective in empowering us to take responsibility for our lives so that we stop acting like victims. We are powerful beyond measure, and there's no reason for us to be sick when people all over the world have shared ways of healing, health, and wellness. Our first Saturday host, Jana, comes to us live from London. Insight on the United Kingdom. And culturally, we've been heavily influenced, of course, by British attitudes. And there is a large black population in the UK, which Jana demonstrates every month. And there have been some very similar experiences. If we are going to go forward and empower ourselves, wherever we are, we've got to see ourselves as powerful people, the powerful people that we are, influencing culture everywhere we are. And Jana introduces to us nonviolent communication, a system of communicating that diffuses conflict. So when we learn how to express our thoughts, beliefs, desires, and needs in a way that is non-threatening, non-insulting, and affirming to other people, then we can communicate across cultures and across continents. And there needs to be no anger and suspicion between people who come from different cultures or countries or climates or any other thing that we perceive as different. Now, of course, our second Saturday host, Mama Joy, standing of how to organize the communities in which we live and how to share with our youth and our elders the information that will help them to improve themselves, how to transform their lives by interconnecting, cooperating, and showing compassion. We are a community wherever we are, and that community needs to nurture us. So join us every second Saturday with host Mama Joy that teaches us how to walk in our authority. And of course, our third Saturday host, Deborah, to get out of our fear of going to places that are different. And she has introduced us to places from around the world, and as a travel advisor, even helped people to plan and experience journeys, whether it's across the country or across the world, and to enjoy the experience, because there's nothing to fear. So we want you to join us every third Saturday and move around with Deborah. And of course, our fifth Saturday, we're on location, and we're going to be introducing you, motivational speaker and owner of the Elevate Cafe, place where you can elevate your consciousness and gather for inspirational conversation. So, of course, we invite you every day to be a part of the solution, the female solution. And we'll be back with our Thursday host, Zoe. And we're going to be making some expansions that will assist in the process of you becoming a part of our global family. So we'll tell you more about that in the weeks to come as we continue to expand your mind here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. And if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs. And our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation services, child care services. Whatever you're selling, they need to buy. We're your media connection. Just follow this link. And tomorrow, you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
Yes, while your business is making you money, you can relax at home. That's the world that we're living in today, and that's the world that you can benefit from. But we want you to not be afraid. Don't be afraid of your cell phone. Don't be afraid of your computer. These are tools that many of us had to master during the pandemic, because we couldn't leave our homes. But you don't have to leave your home to earn a living. You don't have to leave your home to interact with your friends and neighbors, family members, or coworkers. That's the power of the internet. That's the power of our present-day communication systems. So we should master them. And no matter how old you are, you can be someone who speaks to the global family. Now, you may have a message you'd like to share, and you may want to be someone who talks to the world. Well, you can go on the Higher Learning Network and follow our Monday Morning Mindfulness host, Zelda, and sign up for training on how to create your own podcast, because you may have a message that you want to share. knowledge that you've acquired. How do you teach online? We'll show you how. We're so very much excited that we have had a chance to experience the enthusiasm of our young people who learn this skill, and we're going to see more of them. So we want you to join us Saturday, April 20th. We'll be at the Betty Shabazz International Charter School for the Spring Fling Soulful Chicago Book Fair. And that is always an affair that you don't want to miss, because you get a chance to not only meet authors, but hear stories that are inspirational. All of us have a story, and all of us can inspire the world with what we've learned in our life's journey. So Betty Shabazz International Charter School is a place where young people are being prepared to be a part of that global family. They're learning languages, and their perspective in being educated in an African-centered culture and strength coming from a strong, resilient people that has influenced the world in science, mathematics, art, literature. And when they know this, they see themselves differently. And they plan their lives without restrictions. This is what we need to learn how to teach our children. You are powerful. Remember that scene? If you remember that scene in Roots, where when Kunta Kinte was born and his father held him up to the vastness of the sky and said, "Behold, the only thing greater than yourself." You and I, vast creative energy of the universe, and there is no one on this earth greater than we are. And when we teach that to our children, they see themselves as without limits, and they achieve great things. So we have to stop limiting the minds of our children with our own fears. It's not fair to them, because they were created without limits, and the only limits they have are the ones that we place in their minds. So we're going to talk today China. And those who are in China, their experience is not one of fear or anger over past enslavement. That relationship that we have here in America, fortunately, a very sick relationship. We are not well because we're still carrying the pain of an experience. And we are passing our pain on to our children, crippling them unknowingly. Whereas blacks in China come to a continent that presents vast opportunities of commerce, industry, trade, and as a result of that perspective, they can influence in a way that is powerful. They're not acting like ex-slaves or angry at oppressors or constantly complaining about inequality. They're assertively taking advantage of the opportunities for global trade. But we're going to go to our phone lines and get your thoughts. In the city where you live, do you have a Chinatown? Like, we've got a Chinatown in Chicago. Well, of course, there's a cities in China where there's Africa Town, because people take their culture where they go. Are you willing to go abroad? Are you willing to learn Chinese? Well, let's go to our phone line and go to area code 773-483 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and share your thoughts.
Good morning. Good morning, Koopy James.
Ah, Grand Rising, Koopy James. Thank you for calling in.
Oops. You know that I'm the American one. I'm not an African. I'm different.
That's what makes
me special.
I'm just a universal soul.
I'm not an African. I'm not a slave, former slave. I got 2 feet down in America. I don't know nothing about Africa, okay? I may do business and buy shea butter, and I wear my mouth off and all that. And I don't know nothing about Africa. I don't look like them. They come, African people come here, they have dialect, right? And they keep that dialect for the rest of their life.
Mm.
If you were from Africa, wouldn't you have a dialect? Okay, then. Stop playing. So, you know, like I said, I'm free. I'm a businessman. I do business with all international people. And all of them recognize, you know, I go to Chinatown, Italians, German, Jewish, and they all go, hey, man, you know who you are, don't you? I go, what do you mean? You're an Islander. I go, Islander? You're from America, aren't you? You're not in this African theory. I said, no. We can tell. I go, why? Because you're so peaceful every time you come here. You're not looking at my race and all that. You're settled. Where everybody else is just so distraught.
Well,
you know, because the term African American came from what they say about 400. Why is always 400 years? Why can't it be 430 years? Why y'all ain't keep it? Y'all ain't keep it count. It's been 400 years for what, the last 20, 34 years? Why you can't say, oh, we've been here in America for 430 years? Why you can't add? Because it's a lie. Jesse Jackson called us African Americans when he was president, and his great-grandfather is full-blood Cherokee. I don't buy into that. And y'all know I've got millions of people giving me credit and like, wow, brother. Yes, I am not.
Since you want to talk history, let's go back even further than that. Because the fact of the matter is we've been on this planet millions of years. So it just depends on when you want to start talking about where we've been.
It's not millions. This earth has only been here 7,000 years, recorded 7,000 years.
See, you sound worse than the people talking about Africa.
If it was a million years, we would be far advanced. Okay.
We were far advanced. Atomic explosion. So how far back do you want to go? I mean, I can go back further and further and further to beyond the planet. So just how far back do you want to go?
Well, but that I wasn't there. I'm here now.
You're going back to the people who were in America prior to the immigration of Europeans. I'm going back further than that. So I'm going back
I'm going back when the continents were all connected and the first people on this earth were Aymaras in Australia. It was one land base and they were Aymaras and it's all on and all it was historical credit on stone. That's where I'm going. Where that was written on stone, I'll take it from there. Now, you can go back and drift, well, how far back you want to go, but I'm looking on what was written on stone because they put
on
that on stone
learned.
To say, hey, they put that on stone because they said, hey, we was here. This is where we're leaving.
Oh, well,
you know what I'm saying? You know what? I do business with foreigners. Maybe socialize, but I don't let them infiltrate my life. I have a thick bloodline. I have a priest bloodline, okay? And I have a savior's complex that I've been dealing with. You know what I mean? So I survived this LGBT agenda war that they had brought out here. I'm laughing at it, and it's got to the end because they've done what they wanted to do. They got people in this country, and they lay back, drinking their wine, saying we successful. Okay, game is over. Y'all done what you want to do. I watched the LGBT and how they worked, and what they doing.
Well, you know, I appreciate you calling in, brother. I appreciate you calling in, and I never argue with people. I let people be wherever they are. You know, I don't have any concern about anybody's personal life.
People know that I'm speaking truth. I am a very successful person. People know that I'm not delirious. People know that I'm speaking truth. Okay.
You know, I appreciate where you are and how you think.
I always tell people, if you believe in the out of Africa concept, you are mental slaves. That's how they make you mental slaves when they tell you they brought you from Africa on a cartoon boat. You are mental slaves, and you can't think for yourself.
I thank you for your comments. I'm going to bring in our host now. And, you know, you stay right there. We'll continue to discuss the issues that you have raised because, in fact, it's all about how you define yourself. And you can define yourself based on an experience in your history and be stuck there. Or you can see the vastness of existence as ongoing and ever-evolving. And you can recognize that you are an eternal being who's been here since the beginning of the beginning. And so you're not stuck on any one life experience. And this is why people are able to transcend whatever has happened to them in their culture, in their family group, on their continent, and travel to some place where they can meet new people. So let's bring on our Thursday host, Zoe, and let us take a look at blacks in China. And they're not ex-slaves. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. So for those who are listening online, we want to encourage you to be a part of this discussion. Give us a call, 515-605-9325. And you can press 1 when you are ready to speak. And we're excited because we have a chance to influence thought. And it's so powerful. Global family is opening their eyes to new possibilities.
We're so excited
that we get a chance to influence your thoughts. Because we don't want your thought to be limited. We don't want you to be limited to how you see things in this world or even our recent history. Because history is so much more vast than what we have been led to believe. One of those who is constantly seeking others' approval, then you'll have a difficulty in being able to comprehend differences. So we're going to bring in our guest, and talk to Miss Zoe Ma. Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Well, you know, we've had a caller that has a perspective. And one of the things that I've been getting our audience to understand is that people who are traveling abroad and going to, particularly to China, are people who are business-minded. And they're not going there with fear or anger. They're going there to experience culture, trade, and to expand, and of course, learn the language. But we want our viewers to get a view of those blacks in China that have established communities, and even some that are there teaching and helping the Chinese to even prepare for their spreading abroad by learning the language with an insight on the people that they're about to do business with, whether it's African countries or those here in America. So what have you observed about blacks in China?
You know, the first time I met a black person, actually someone from Africa. When I was in college in the late 90s, I think for even a few decades before I get into college, the Chinese government extended scholarship to African students. So, you know, the university next to mine actually has a program with some African countries that their African students on Chinese scholarship study in that university. And then, so because at that time I was a very few actually study English in college. And my university, as one of the top universities in China, had a program with Princeton University of America that their postgraduate will have a contract to teach English in my university. So, you know, as an English major, we have close contact with, you know, with this group of almost peers. They are only a year or two older than us. But, you know, so they were invited in. You know, sometimes they still have friends with other foreigners, because the foreigner as a whole, doesn't matter if you're from Africa or from America, it's African business people, you know, establish their life over there. You will see there, if you Google on YouTube, you will see, you know, you look at the life in China, you can see a lot of them. Two or three years ago, I have a Pixel account because I feel there's kind of disconnect between the Chinese community, Chinese American community, and the Black community in America. So I was using TikTok to tell the truth about the Black people living in China. And so I was just going through YouTube and, you know, get a clip of the people-to-people interaction in China. And a lot of it is like dating. The Chinese boy dating black girls, or the black boy married a Chinese woman. And if you see the southern China, you know, the little Africa, a lot of the business are actually Africans married to Chinese women. And then they work as a team to run a business in southern China. So I think, and I just come across this lady. I think I probably sent you the her TikTok handle.
Yeah.
I saw her while I was doing the Black in China TikTok a few years ago. And I saw she was interviewed by an Asian podcast media called The Asian Boss. And, you know, her experience of living in China as a black person. So she went to China as a English teacher. It seems like she learned Chinese even before. And then she went to China, and she... Her Chinese is great, and then she was talking about her experience as a black person in China versus a black person in the United States. And, you know, China, when you are being a black person, you are standing out because you don't look like the ordinary Chinese. We do have some people very dark skin. Actually, the funny thing is, my dad... it's very dark skin compared to every Chinese. And because we are Chinese Muslim background, somehow like my dad's family has carried this very dark skin tone all through the family line. One of my uncles is very dark, and one of my cousins is very dark. So one of my boss from my first job met my dad, and she came after that. Meeting my dad came back office, and she said, God, her dad looks like from Africa. So, you know, it's just, you don't see many people who have very dark skin. But, and this lady was talking about being a black person, you know, basically you can tell she's not from China, not a Chinese dark skin Chinese. And she said, you know, she never experienced being followed in the store, being suspicious, being a thief, or something like that. And there's no hatred. They may think you are outsider. They just consider you are outsider. Sometimes give you a little courtesy of being, just being respectful. But a lot of times they think you are celebrity because they never see somebody like that. And they like to associate with you. They want to take a picture with you, like sign selfie, and to show their friends, look. I mean, Chinese culture as a whole, a very curious culture, and they want to show people that there's something new. So a lot of people, if you go to China, doesn't matter you're white or black, as long as you don't look Chinese, because they can't tell you're not from this country, they will take a picture with you. And they will have a kid to take a picture with you, and then they make friends with you. But you know, she was telling her experience, and she said she chose being black in China, even sometimes feel being singled out as somebody from the country, versus being black in America, where you are constantly feel he went to China as a 15-year-old, so he actually went to a Chinese high school. And then, so he never feels, you know, being just, you know, different skin tone, never feel like being a second class. But as soon as he returned to United States, and even at the immigration, he was summoned to the officer, and then he immediately feel like in America, there's a special place for him, now that I'm equal to someone else.
Oh.
So it was so, and he was shocked, and he had to get used to it. Because in China, you may look different, but, you know, they just treat you the same.
Wow. You know, that's...
whatever you people learn from media, I think the longer I stay in the United States, the longer I realize the media is an arm of propaganda by the government. As bad as China, there's no freedom of information at all, because if you don't go out of the country to have your personal experience, you learn about our culture through the media. And the media, especially the American media, they do not tell you the statistics. They tell you about the opinion. And so it's you, the information you get from our, you know, our culture is already processed. Just like the processed meat. Is that healthy? No. There's a lot of ingredients in that kind of a processed food. The processed food is not... not authentic food. So is the processed media, it's not authentic. And it's somebody already processed to shape your view towards to their liking. So I think my 30 years in the United States, even though I'm an American citizen, I hate American media as much as I hate Chinese media. I'm sorry. You know, I think what they say, democracy, the foundation of democracy is being freedom information. I'm sorry, you don't have that freedom.
No, we don't. You know, there's so much distortion about the, well, really every country. You know, when we grow up in America, we learn propaganda. And I remember what we learned about China was, communists, and the people are oppressed, and if you go there, they'll throw you in jail and you'll be tortured. I mean, we learned all those kinds of things. What was instilled in us was fear. So when you talk about China today, even what we hear on the news is all fear-based. And even in recent decades, when I was hearing stories about, oh, the Chinese have invaded Africa and they're taking over. So the idea put out there was that there's a hostile kind of relationship even between the Africans and the Chinese. But from what you've seen and what you've described, that's not even true. You have Africans that are going there, that are setting up communities and thriving. So, you know, what is your thought about that? The fact that we're being taught fear, and how can we change what we're teaching in our schools about China so that people will not have that distorted view of it being an oppressed society?
I think it's the same as what I'm doing in the United States. I came back and dropped my son to school, and I just passed the last few words of the caller before. He has this savior complex. Okay. Well, so what's the savior complex? What's he saving from? The fear. So it doesn't matter if they are in the United States or in the international stage. They want to project the other party as your enemy, as the enemy of you. They need to brainwash you, and so they can check by their savior complex when they are actually the person who commits genocide.
Mm.
And then that's on the international stage, they do the same.
Yeah. When you come to someone's home and rob them and then ask them how come they don't have anything in their home, well, you rob them of it. You know, if somebody comes to my house and they drag out my flat screen TV and they take out all my computers and they put all my cell phones in a bag and cart them out to their truck and they take all the food out of my refrigerator and put it in a bag and take it in their truck, and they drive away with all my things, and they then come to my house and say, well, you don't have anything. Well, no, because you just took it. So all of this talk about Africa not having, well, what did people do when they came? They came and stole. So if a country now is going through a process of trying to rebuild after having experienced robbery, they weren't poor before. They were very wealthy. And anybody who studied history knows one of the wealthiest men in history, Mansa Musa, traveled across the continent spreading gold everywhere. And, of course, gold was considered, you know, a symbol of wealth. So even the attitude that we're given about Africa is distorted. Because, like you say, some people have a savior complex. So I'm going to go and save these people from themselves. These people were doing fine. They were trading. And we wrote about this in one of our books. You know, there were ships that traveled to America from Africa doing trade with the indigenous people here before the Europeans came. So everybody was doing fine before the Europeans came with their attitude of we're going to come and take. And I'm not saying that just Europeans did it. Everybody did. Everybody stole from people. What we're trying to do now is establish a different way of being so that we can come and trade and exchange and have mutual respect. That can be the relationship that people from other nations can have with each other. Not I'm going to come and take what you have by force and kill you, but I'm going to come and go to your universities and study and learn your language and experience your culture and share some of mine. That's the attitude we want people to have when they go abroad. Not, oh, I'm going to save you, or I'm going to come and bring you my culture so you can be like me. No, that's not what we need to do.
No, I mean, I think that you know, we are all human beings. You know, God made us equal. That doesn't mean give you an extra brain.
Right.
So if you don't have an SIO, you are actually superior. You have the power of being a savior. I'm sorry, you don't. And then for the people, this is a Congress. You possess that kind of a mentality, the superior savior complex. I'm sorry, wow, girl, for this in the history, because you just grade yourself and nobody see you that way. And that's why today the Americans still want to feel they need to enforce the savior complex, like it's from the Biden, but what he's doing right now, the savior complex, the support of Israel genocide, the Palestine. That you have a choice. You choose one life over another. You are no God, but America is playing God. So I think that for the people to see life is a life. Doesn't matter what color you are, what state you are, where you live. So let people choose, and then don't interfere. History, God is. You know, I always say history is written by God. The Israelis and the Palestinians need to figure out how to coexist with each other on their own terms, without the interference by Americans, not by the billions of dollars sent over there. When our people here do not have food, do not have decent housing, just look at the housing price right now. Just look at the rental house right now. How many people can afford item from a Dollar Tree, they have to close early because they don't have people to work there. Why? Because I tell, you know, my I just had a visitor from China. So the reason there's nobody working that shop because doesn't matter if they work that shop, will not have enough money to pay apartment. So I showed him the price of apartment in their community. You know, if that person makes $15 an hour and then probably only give them like 30 hours to avoid all the benefits, that person, how much that person can make?
So I think our government, the American government, the white people's government, need to come back and think about it. We people, America, need that $1 billion they sent to Ukraine and Israel. We need that money to fill the roads and, you know, the so eliminate the potholes and then, you know, build affordable housing. So our people need that.
Yes, yes.
So don't face the rest of the world skin color as you.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I had somebody call me for my rental apartment in Wisconsin, and it's only $550 per month. That includes all utilities. And this person, you know, I assume have the same skin color as the caller. Said, oh, is there any way that that someone can help me to pay for the apartment? So $550.
Wow.
And you can't afford that?
Wow.
That's just wallet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, somebody can't afford that.
Hmm. You know, I think people get into a state of and believing that they don't have the ability to take care of themselves. And that's what happens when you're raised with a victim mentality. Oh, well, these people won't let me do this, or these people are racist, or these people are prejudiced. We do more to cripple our children by having them think that they're dependent on other people in order to do things. Now, the people that you see going to China, they're not seeing themselves as helpless and they can't do things. They're seeing themselves as international business people, educators, people who are exploring new cultures. They're not walking in fear or dependency. So they can come with a whole different attitude. So how do we help people get out of that helpless attitude that they can't do something that everybody else is doing?
I think it's more to, first of all, stop creating the fear. You know, there's a problem, there's a fear that everybody else is your enemy. There's no enemy. People, God is the God of love. We love one another. We have to learn to love one another. And then, you know, for people who have been, you know, outside the world, see a different culture, can coach people around you. Like, you know, last week I was in, you know, Wisconsin, and my tenant is, she is a single mom from Melrose Park of Indiana, and she had 5 young babies. And I'm just coaching her. Don't always think, oh my utilities is so high. Where, what government agency that I can go apply? I say, you can never catch up that like that. You need to figure out how you can start doing business. And I'm just coaching her, and she said, you are the only person, you are the first person, talk to me. I said, how to budget here, how do you, you know, disconnect all your, you can't have lights on all the time if your utility bill is through the roof. You need to figure out where you can save. I'm going to have to teach her how to manage your household. And now two days ago, she sent me a text, and she said, I have this business idea, you know, and then, so she was talking about it. I said, that's a great idea. And I'm already helped her asking my friend in, you know, Chinese. I said, okay, can you buy this product in China? See how that goes. So I'm helping her to actually build a business in the North Wisconsin, in the rural Wisconsin, as a, you know, a black single mom, you know? And
yeah.
That's what it is. We need to exchange. And I just feel like, you know, in China, in Chicago, we have a sizable Chinese community, and they are doing trade with China all the time. And
yeah.
It's good for people to talk and they say, let's sit down. What can we do to bring trade here? Let's do trade. When the store is closing, 99 stores are closing, Dollar Tree and Family Dollar is going to close a lot of their stores. Where are people going to buy?
Right. Right.
So we need to, I said, this is the opportunity.
This is
the we need to see the opportunity, not the fear.
That's it. We need to see the opportunity and not the fear. That's what people who are traveling abroad and creating businesses, they don't move in fear. And so instead of people being angry when you see somebody of another ethnicity come into your community and open up a business, think about what kept you from opening up a business in your same neighborhood. What's keeping you from doing it? What's keeping you from going to another community? And some people say, well, I couldn't open up a business in Chinatown. Well, you don't know. Did you try? You know, maybe you have a business that they might welcome.
You can even open a business in China.
Yes. I mean, if other people have done
that.
That's right. The assumption is, and this is why we have to change what we're teaching our children. We assume that everybody's going to be hostile. And so we don't even reach out to make friends because we've been conditioned. Because we live in a hostile environment, it has been hostile, we are believing that everybody is hostile. And this is why those who were born in America and have the experience of being treated badly need to go out of America to understand the rest of the world is not going to treat you that way. They don't see you that way. When I went to China and Korea and Japan, I've been to these Asian countries, nobody treated me like, oh, well, you're some ex-slave. And they didn't see me that way. They would ask me what African country that I came from because they've seen Africans. And they know that that's a whole continent of cultures and countries and history, and people are coming with different things that they're offering as business. And so they just assume that, you know, I was probably a traveling businesswoman. You know, okay, what country did you come from? What do you do? You know, and I explained that I was born in America, but I'm in the communications industry and all of that. But nobody's treating me badly, like you followed me around the store to see if I'm going to steal. None of that behavior that I experienced. And as a matter of fact, like you said, people want to take your picture. I'd be walking down the street, somebody runs to me, you know, with a camera. Picture, you know, want to do a selfie, you know. And I thought it was funny, you know. So I said, okay, I know I probably look different. So, that, yeah, this is a chance to get a different-looking person. And it was a totally different experience. Our children need to go someplace where they don't have any fear of being treated badly so that they can know the world does not see them that way. We're crippled by our thinking that everybody's going to treat us badly because we've been treated badly. That's what it means to be traumatized. When you're believing that you're going to experience a repeat of a hurtful experience, and so you're reacting as if that hurtful experience is happening to you, and it is not.
That's I think that is true. You know, people's view about even the same institution differently based on their personal experience. If they have a traumatic experience in their personal life, they may view the institution. You don't have any experience or past experience with the institution, that person will not have the same negative opinion about it. You know, like I was telling you, this is a Chinese Muslim who viewed China was so negative, like full of hatred. And me as a Chinese Muslim, you know, we are about the same age. We're both living out of the United States, out of China now. And we both are Chinese, Hui Muslim, is like HUI. But I've been listening to his podcast, and he has so much hate to China. And I just feel like, how come we have the same cultural background,
mm-hmm.
and that we have totally different about China?
That's interesting.
Because his family was privileged. government that you will not be privileged.
Right.
And then, okay, and but if you have, if the Democrats retain the government again, then you regain the privilege. So for me, I never had, you know, privilege anywhere. It doesn't matter. But for him, it's because of the political changes.
Mm.
So he is experienced, you know, one day he was a privilege, another day he lost the privilege of being prosecuted because of he might be a political foe, and then back and forth. So he hates that system.
Oh.
But for me, I was never in any time in a privileged class, so my experience with China was pretty good.
Mm.
And then my mom was in, you know, also the Hui Muslim, and she's from, and she's in 80-some years old. She experienced the equivalent of pre-colonial America and, you know, the colonial America and the Republic America. So her experience is totally different.
Mm.
And then she prefers, you know, this, if you consider before the communists as a colonial America, and the current is the Republic of America. She loves this version of it. And the
Hui Muslim, is that a particular sect of Islam that's, you know, in China, and maybe there are some other groups as well?
Yeah, you know, America heard so much about Uyghur Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hui Muslim is more like anybody who is not Uyghur Muslim or Kazakh. Or, you know, there's a few that, you know, the Central East Asian countries have some of their population live in Xinjiang. So they have several ones, just like there's Chinese Koreans, that the Korean living in China called Chinese Koreans. For the rest of the Chinese who believe, who are Islam believers, they are generally called the Hui Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two types of us. One is, I think my family were, because my dad carried a lot of Central Asian or Persian facial features. I think in our family line is more, doesn't have any Central Asian DNA. So they are more Chinese converted to Islam. And I think on my mama's side, maybe, because my mom has a lot of Korean DNA, so probably in that part, is, you know, they were converted to Islam. But so there are two types of the Hui Muslims, you know, some Chinese. And he apparently is a Chinese converted Islam, but who hates Chinese, you know, just vehemently. You know, hates Chinese as an ethnic group even, not even just the country. So it's very interesting, but it's because of a personal experience. And he identified with Uyghurs, especially more than the regular Uyghurs. So I just feel like this person is a generous thinker. And then, you know, if these people were not a power in America, it will not tolerate in China either. So
that's the mindset. Well, we've got a few comments here from our Facebook and YouTube viewers, and of course, we've got some callers on the line that want to speak, but we're hearing from our Friday and Sunday host, Beata, Grand Rising Queen. Thanks for sharing and caring and teaching. You both look gorgeous today in your matching colors. Yes, I'm wearing my gold and black and everything. But now, if you want a visual image, you can go to our Facebook and YouTube page, The Female Solution. Just type it in, and you'll see the gorgeous Zoe Ma, you'll see my smiling face.
Zoe Ma and Naima.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, you can give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And this show will be on the on-air radio network after the show, so you can go to onaireverywhere.com/on-air-radio-network and listen to the podcast. And we have a comment from Zelda from the Higher Learning Network, says, Grand Rising Beautiful Bodacious Woman, thanks for awakening the planet. We are waking up. Yes. Yes, we are. You got to go to the Higher Learning Network TV show and see those children from Betty Shabazz International Charter School. They did a fantastic job with the students from China, and then they had a great interview with their teacher, who is African-American. She says, been teaching there, I think it's been about 8 years now, teaching in China, I think at least six, seven. I mean, she's been there a while, and she has her sixth, seventh, eighth grade students, and we had our sixth, seventh, and eighth grade students, and we're going to continue that connection with them because we're preparing our students to go to China and meet the students, meet their peers, because what we envision is creating friendships. You can't be enemies with someone who you've made friends with. They're not a myth anymore. You know actual people, and that just makes such a difference because the world of the future will not be one of conflict. And Beata says, consider joining my buying club at Metaluca.com for non-toxic products and business opportunities. Yes, you know, that's one of the things about trade, is that you learn about other ways of healing that, you know, aren't always made known to us here, because the companies here, they kind of have a lockdown on the information when it comes to health and wellness. So we need to explore, and always watch Health and Wellbeing on Fridays, and of course Soul First Receiving on Sundays with Beata, to get some insight. And Beata said, had some experiences when I visited China that people wanted to take pictures with me and my spouse. Yes. And you know, it's a lot of fun because they know that you're from someplace else. But instead of looking at you with fear, like, oh, these people, or who are they? They run up to you and want to take a picture with you. And that means that they welcome you. They see you as a guest. They see you as someone special, someone different. And they appreciate the difference. It's a totally different attitude. And, you know, and I noticed it, and it made me think about it. What experience are we giving our visitors when they come to our community? It's kind of hostile most of the time. Fear, suspicion, anger if they're speaking another language. So how hospitable are we to our visitors? That really made me think about that. And Beata says, join me tomorrow on the Female Solution for Health and Wellbeing with Beata for New World Practitioners. Yeah, you got to come on back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern, right here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And if you want to see Beata, you got to go to our Facebook page or Beata's Tiny House Village. And, of course, we're already sharing it on our Female Solution Facebook page, but we want you to experience New World Practitioners. We're only going to get better when we share information. That's what it's all about, sharing your knowledge. Every group has something that they know, something that they have experienced, something they have learned in their history that they can share with the world and help all of us as a human family evolve to a higher level of civilization. So that's why we should interact. We're going to take one last break and come back and take some callers. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, I want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And, of course, you can go to the on-air radio network and hear the show after the show. And, as always, you can go to our website, thefemalesolution.com, and meet our global family of hosts and keep up with what they're doing. Just go to the host page and take you right to their Facebook pages and YouTube pages and Instagram pages, and follow, like, and share the social media from our host. We'll be right back after this last break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after these brief messages. So stay with us.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl. And I'm Naima. We're Three Black Moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naeem Latif, and on Thursday we shop with Zoe as we learn about international trade and business and travel and commerce. And now we're taking a look at blacks in China because there is a large population and growing there. And yeah. We need to be a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, this, you know, for the past 400 years, I think the black culture, you know, crossed from Africa to an America has been suppressed.
Yeah.
They are denied the resources to promote themselves as equal footing with the rest of the race, in other races like Asians and the white. But right now, the world, the economy is on the verge of a new revolution.
Yeah.
And then here, the world is not divided as the have and the have not. The have the capital, have not, it do not have the capital. In the new economy, the capital is redefined. It's not in the dollar, not in RMB, not in pounds,
right.
Not in even gold.
That's right.
It's defined by people.
That's right.
You and me.
Yes.
Everybody,
yes.
Because we will be the new capital.
Yes.
Because the world, because of commerce, the world, so the new revolution is not industry anymore. It's commerce. Based
right.
on commerce, on digital world.
That's right.
So how we become the capital, the people of know how to get the peace of us. Monetize ourselves. We don't, right now, that's why the enter a new world with equality. Right now, it's one person is one person. The technology is just create a digital version of us to monetize. But this still based on us. We are source of their capital. So I think this is the new world. New world order. If you put it in a political term, it's a new world order. It's every one of us going to be play a big role, and then we are all equal. At this point, God really create us all equal because we are all human beings.
Yeah.
So now truly equal because of the technology, because it's a digital world based on commerce, not by production. And then the sooner you can get into this commerce sphere, the better you can have the same, if you can share the wealth that other people can have, but share the lifestyle other people can have. Now everybody's equal. So that's why in the center of the production is in China, but the whole world is the marketplace. Your neighborhood is your marketplace. And how to capitalize the new marketplace right in your community when the Amazon is out there, all the stores are out there. How? You are the one going to fill your community with a new marketplace.
Yes.
And you will be the person to do
it.
And how to do it? Travel around and learn from other people. I think the other day I said, how I've become who I am today in the last 3 years. I learned manager R&D before M&D from an Irish firefighter in Chicago. I learned how to manage assisted living from a Scottish lady, 70 years old, from Wisconsin. You just need to travel around, learn from some strangers. And the fear that you have will be blocking you from opening that opportunity.
That's
for
right.
me, you know, I never had fear. I can learn from anybody. A fire from inside, I don't care. As long as I can learn something from you to better myself.
Right. And that's something that we have to teach our children, not to fear people, not to expect everybody to treat them badly, not to be afraid to ask for help or ask for, you know, when I was in China, lost, you know, on public transportation, I couldn't figure out how to work the machine to get my, you know, pass to get into the train. And every time I had a confused look on my face, you know, when I was in the airport and I was trying to figure out how to, you know, get the ticket out of the machine, people would always come and help me. I didn't even ask for help. I just looked confused and lost. But people would come and help just because they knew I was a stranger. They knew I was a visitor. And they just automatically, oh, do you need help? And they would. And one guy, he had this little translation app on his phone, but he couldn't quite get it to work. So he brought somebody else who he went and got somebody who could speak better English so that they could help me. Total strangers, you know. So we have to get out of the idea that people aren't going to be nice and people aren't going to help and everybody's out to get us, everybody's going to be mean. That's the biggest emotional scar that African American people have, the belief that everybody is going to be mean to us because we've experienced so much meanness here. But we can't keep teaching that to our children. We can't keep having them expect that everybody's going to be nasty and hurtful because that's not how the world is. It really isn't. And you'd be surprised. I mean, I was, you know, and I'm really thinking of sending the mayor, this suggestion, even city council, however it has to happen. This is an international city. And when you travel here, it's so confusing. If you speak another language, you'd be lost because there's not enough translations of just how to get from the train, you know, from the plane, the airport to the trains or where the trains go. There's no explanation. When I went abroad, the airports had translations in several different languages. When I was flying, they would give you the instructions in three different languages. You know, I think when I was going to Korea, they had French, they had Arabic. I mean, they had like three different languages where the main people were speaking. We don't do that here in America. So it's like we don't care if you don't know.
I remember I had transit through Paris airport. They have a Chinese, Korean,
yes.
And then Istanbul, same. Chinese, you know, Russian, it's all this language. You don't have it.
Everybody else is doing that because everybody else understands that people speak another language. And so you have to make your city friendly. We can do that in Chicago. We need to do that in Chicago. I'm going to suggest that to our elected officials, that they make this mandatory for transportation systems, that they be multilingual. Because people here aren't just friendly to help you when you look confused, the way I looked confused when I was traveling. People aren't, because people are taught fear of strangers, they're not as likely to help when someone perhaps speaks another language or it looks confused and you know that they don't know. People will stare at you and keep walking. It's just, we need to teach our children more hospitality and less fear. And that's just culturally something we have to do, because we have to be better people. If you're a nice person, you're going to attract nice people. That's what I found. I have not had any incidences of racism anywhere I went.
Yeah.
I mean, all I did was make friends. I'm sure there probably were some people who weren't nice, but I didn't meet them. And I think you attract you what you are. So if you keep attracting people who are mean, well, okay, how are you treating people? That's what I would say. But really, everywhere I went in the world, everybody was nice. Everybody was helpful. I had no incidences of any kind of what I would think would be racism or anything. It just didn't happen. So we have to stop being afraid of it.
I think it is, we have to, you know, sometimes we just need to work on to bring our young people out there, because, you know, older people, they already accumulated so much trauma in their life, hard to change that. But
yeah,
we can help our young people, that bring them to experience a different world that, you know, our world is not normal. America, like,
yes,
such a hostility, a cultural feel of hostility, it's not normal.
It's not normal. And our children need to know that.
Three-quarters of the world will not live in, like, America like that, the hostility.
Yes.
So, you know, when they were talking about the world, the white people or the Europeans, it's only, what, a fifth of the population?
Yeah, they're not even a majority.
The rest of the world do not share the same view.
Yeah.
And they don't even need the white savior mentality in their country.
Right, right.
They
just
want to be treated equal.
Yeah.
Let's help each other. Intermediary trade, we are equal. You are buyer and seller. Let's do business. And the win-win situation. Not like a, you know, you are going to invade country and, you know, just rob their resources. That's a zero-sum game, and that's being instilled in many people's minds in this country. We can't compete. We go to your country, we invade, and we take your resources.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in Venezuela. That's what's happening.
That's
in
why they left.
That's not, you know, not here in America.
Yeah. And that,
looking at it, okay.
This is what happened.
China has the post Southeast Asia as a doorstep. What China is doing now is how those countries improve their living standards. Look at the whole Latin America. It's the same thing. Latin America is South Asia to China.
Mm-hmm.
But look at all the poverty here. Look at all the war here.
Yeah.
You know, just thinking, America is supposed to be the richest country. You can't even help your neighbors.
Right. There you go. It's an attitude. When I see, I go to restaurants and I see so much food thrown in the garbage. You know, you see all of this. Even if you go to places like the Salvation Army, where they're doing a lot of resale of, you know, clothing, furniture, all that. It's so much overabundance and waste here. Why can't you just share? Why can't you just help those who need? And once you give it, then they can circulate, and then everybody gets some, and then nobody's poor. So it's an American mindset of selfishness and meanness. And like you say, it doesn't exist everywhere else. Everybody does not have that attitude. We got some callers on the line, and we got some that have been listening for quite a while. Press 1 if you'd like to ask a question. You can make a comment. You got a thought. Would you consider going to China? And what have you? What were you taught about China as a child? I think that's a good question because I didn't realize that 99.9% of my education was propaganda until maybe in the last few decades. We have a programming that we have been taught about others that is untrue, and it's to make us fearful, and it's to make us not question that we're being treated badly because we're always told that if you go someplace else, they're going to treat you worse. Oh, if you go to China, they're going to throw you in jail. They don't let you speak. You know, you got free speech here, but, you know, if you go there, they'll throw you in jail because they don't allow that there. That's what we were taught. So we were taught fear, and that's how come people don't travel because they've been ingrained with fear of other places.
You know what? What really shocked me is the way the government treats the
Cabin on Ocean Bay.
Yes.
That's the same thing. If you don't say something good, they do their thing or do things follow their rules. It's a political movement.
You hear me?
You can't put them in jail for 2 years, and then you support some other country to overthrow their government. Democracy in your backyard, right?
Well, we've got some callers in the line. Let's see if we can get to them before we wrap up. Every call 773-221. I believe that.
Yes. Thank you, Naima and Zoima. You know, I'm a world order of Baha'u'llah system of global governance votary, and that's based on the World Order of Baha'u'llah written by Shoghi Effendi, beloved guardian of the Baha'i faith. It's important that the arbiters of political affairs in future, be it the future mayors of Chicago, the future presidents of the United States, have a vision that is based on something very sound. And I believe in a quantum financial system, a quantum voting system. I've developed a parallel economy that's called the Universal Basic Income Treasury Direct Account. And I'm also creative founder of Federated State Bank of North America and Africa.
Yeah.
And it's backed by gold, by the way.
And, you know, and I'm grateful that people are creating other systems. And thank you so much for calling in. I think we can squeeze another call before we go. I think it's important for us, like you just said, Zoe, that we know that we are the capital. We can create our own economic systems. We have the power to choose what we want to use as the means of trade and commerce because we are the people. And we're the ones who define how we want our lives to go. And we can choose to be kind. We can choose to be fair. We can choose to share. And we can create a better society than what we have right now, which has been based on, I'm going to take what you have. And that's a mindset. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be the way we live. So thank you, Brother Nelson. We appreciate you so very much. And let me see if I can take another caller, 312-450, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your call.
I just want to say that, can you hear me, guys? This is Duchess from Chicago. This is Prophetess Darva. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I just want to say that I follow China a lot over the years, and I wanted to say that we understand who China represents and what it represents and what our relationship with the United States and China has with each other. But I wanted to say that China is overpopulated. You're saying would we like to go to China to live, to be there? I mean, it's overpopulated. You guys, I thought that they're saying across the borders, you got Chinese people coming across the borders to come to the United States. So I think that if we would go any place, I mean, nothing against China, but we got, 50 countries in Africa that we need to visit that we haven't seen yet, that we don't even know anything about. But I just think that the relationship that United States and China has, I don't know, it seems like it's not a, you know, it seems like the relationship is not a very I'm not saying bad, but it's some controversy between the United States and China. So that's my thought on that.
You know, that's something interesting that she said. And thank you, Darva, so much for calling. We appreciate you. Feel free to call in.
Love you.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Love you much. Yes, thank you. Well, you know, when the students were talking to the teacher from China, when they had the interaction with the Chinese students, and then they asked, is it crowded there? And then they talked to the teacher about it, and she said, you know, there's a different, you know, in terms of culturally, there's a different understanding about personal space. Yes, there are a lot of people, but it's not seen as abnormal. People know how to function with a lot of people. And I was observing that as well. They were very organized with the public transportation system. And something I found amazing, they had crowded trains just like we have. But there was no conflict. People weren't fussing or fighting or angry or anything. Everybody just kind of sat and minded their own business, you know, either whether they were reading something on paper or a lot of them on their phone. You know, whatever. But having a lot of people doesn't mean you have conflict. People know how to go where they need to go and travel through the streets. And there's a lot of bicycle travel. Nobody was, like, bumping into each other and arguing, "Hey, you stepped on my foot," you know, like here where you can step on a person's foot and they want to hit you in the face. That didn't exist there. And one thing I observed, even the houses, there's no waste of space, of course. You've got a lot of people that need every, well, like a house or whatever. And, you know, there's not a lot of wasted space. You know, because when I stayed there, I stayed in, I forgot what you call it, but kind of hotel where it's almost like a dormitory room where there are bunk beds and there's like six of us in the room. But it was okay. It was a different experience. But you learn how to use your space that you have. You don't waste a lot of space, and everybody understands that they're sharing space with others. So there's a different level of respect that you have because there are a lot of people. So having a lot of people doesn't mean there's a conflict. So thank you for that question, Darva, because I think people need to understand that you can have a lot of people someplace, and it doesn't have to cause a conflict. Just respect each other, and everybody will be fine.
I think the Chinese culture emphasizes share and the respect. Respect is never everything. You know, so kind of the order and the culture, rather than, you know, just conflict all the time.
Yes, I think that's it. Well, it looks like we're out of time. We thank you so much, as always, for sharing some insight. And we urge you all to shop with Zoe on Thursdays because you're going to learn about how to become part of the international business community. It's real simple. Reach out to your neighbors and learn how to share. Well, we want you all to, of course, go to the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel, and of course our website, www.thefemalesolution.com. And you can keep up with our host on the on-air radio network. You can listen to this show right there. And of course, join us tomorrow for Health and Well-Being with Beata. And until then, remember to shine your light. We'll see you next time on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com. watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jeret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.